Okay, good evening everybody. I want to say thanks to Keith and the leadership of the church just for the invite along tonight to be at your youth night. My name's Dave and I'm from Carrickfergus, so I've just come around the lock, just like Craig has come around the lock, and I suppose just like Craig, I guess I'm married too. It was great to hear Craig's testimony there and an encouragement for many of us. But I've been asked to come along tonight and try to address a question from some of the young people. And it's up on the screen there. Are Christians serious that Jesus is the only way to God? Yes. Okay, I could just answer like that, but I'll hopefully give you a wee bit more, like 15 minutes or so. Maybe just think a wee bit about that question. Are Christians serious? Given all of the people in the world, the population of the world has just exceeded 7 billion people. 7 billion people in the world, and there's estimated to be something around 10,000 different religions. So think of all of those people in the world, all of the different religions, all searching for something greater than themselves. How can Christians claim a monopoly on knowing the way to God? Are they serious about that? Surely there must be other ways to God, other paths to God. And I think the first thing we've got to ask in that question is, well, it presupposes that God exists. God, there is a God somewhere, wherever, there is a God. And I'm not going to be able to answer that question fully tonight, but just let me say a couple of things in passing. There is a God. There is a God. Look all around the world. Evidence creation of the world. Think of the magnitudes of the cosmos, the lengths and breadths and depths of the cosmos. Then bring it right down into your body. Think of the nutrients in your body. Think of nerves in your body and the tiny electric signals. Creation speaks of a creator. I think if you were walking along in the moon and you happened to bump, just see a television. I don't know why you'd be walking on the moon. I don't know why you're bumping the television. But if you did, you would sort of go, well, who put that there? And I think even more greater that when we look at creation all around us. So creation tells us there is a God. What about our conscience? We're all built to worship something. We're built with an inbuilt desire to worship something greater than ourselves. That's why there are so many religions in the world. That's why we all try to worship something. Perhaps maybe it's even ourselves. So our conscience tells us, and even greater than that, the Bible tells us, that there is a God and that God exists. So if there is a God and this God exists, how do we encounter God? How do we connect with God? How do we experience this God that exists? And the argument that many people put forward is something like this. This is Mount Kilimanjaro. And people will say, imagine a mountain, a high mountain, and whenever you get a mountain, there's not just one path to the top. There's lots of different paths. They all go up all the paths. And they all maybe have their own unique things. Maybe some go past waterfalls. Some are a bit tricky in places. You know, but eventually you navigate the path. They all reach the top. And that's what people say. You know, the world is just like that. There's so many different ways to get to God. So many different religions. And what's more, you know, you might be on your path. You can't really see the people around the side of the mountain on their path. You just think you're the only one on your path. And there's all these other paths. And well, eventually they all get to the top of the mountain. And they all reach God. That sort of sounds a bit reasonable, doesn't it? It kind of sounds okay on the face of it. It's a very common picture in the world. Many people have said that. Many people have come up with that. And people just say, you just believe what's right for you. You just go with whatever's in your heart, and well, you know, you'll find God, whatever your idea of God is, you'll get there. So how do we go about trying to deal with this issue? That's what people think in the world. And I want to do a couple of things from two different areas. I want to think about it logically. First of all, I used to be an accountant, and I like logic. And maybe some of you are doing maths in school. The kind of idea, you know, if A equals B, B doesn't equal C, well then A can't equal C. You know, those kind of things, that like using deduction, you know, things don't work out. So we'll look at it logically, and that's quite powerful, but we'll look at it from the Bible, which is even more powerful and clear. So the first thing is kind of logically, what about all paths lead to God? Well, I would just like to say, well, what about, do all paths lead to God? Well, what about Adolf Hitler? What about him on his path? He was the fascist leader of the Nazi movement, and he had a path, started a couple of world wars, killed millions of Jews, and his path was to reach God. Well, does his path get to God? And then many people go, No, not all paths reach God. There's not all paths. There's many paths. And already the argument's starting to sound a wee bit quakey. It's starting to get a wee bit quakey and, yeah, okay, well, many paths reach God. But then we have to think about, well, what about these different paths? What are they saying on the different paths? And if you just take a couple of examples, you'll find that the paths are all contradictory. They contradict each other. So think about the fact that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they believe there's one God. Okay? And then you'll have Hinduism, believes there's many gods. And then you have atheism and, say, Buddhism, they believe that there's no God. So which one is it? Which is right? You know, are they all just going together, muddling their way up this mountain? Because what I would say is, if you believe that there's one God, you're going in that direction. If you believe there's no gods, or there's many gods, you're going in that direction. The paths are going in completely opposite directions. Take the other example of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Well, Christianity says Jesus was God in human form. Islam says, no, he was just a man, a prophet, but just a man. So if you think Jesus was God, you're going in that direction. If you think he was just a man, you're going in that direction. Completely opposite directions. They totally contradict themselves. There's totally contradictory examples. So they can't all kind of generally end up in the same place. One of them has to be right. And then many people say, oh, well, it's really arrogant to say that you've got the right answer. That's really arrogant. How can Christians? That's the question. Are you serious? You think you know the only way to God? That's really arrogant. I think the problem is we think if you think you know the answer, you're arrogant. But you can be wrong and be arrogant too. You know, have you ever thought about that? You can't equate arrogance with being right. And what about the person, back to our mountain, the person that says, well, all the paths eventually get to God. Well, where does that person have to be? Think about in the picture, where are they? Well, they're obviously in an airplane or a helicopter or something because they're up above and they're looking down. And what are they doing? They're saying, well, I know the answer. I know the absolute truth. All the paths reach God anyway. So they're doing exactly the same sort of thing. I want to introduce you to Joe. And Joe is a guy and he's out for a walk. And he's deciding to walk from, say, Hollywood to Bangor. And he's out walking along the front, along the shore there, and he's walking along, and eventually he meets this other guy, walking along beside this other guy, gets talking to him. They're starting to talk together about just different things. He gets to know this guy, and Joe turns around to the guy and says, lovely day for a walk, isn't it? And the guy goes, yeah. And Joe says, well, where are you heading to? He says, I'm heading to Bangor. And the guy goes, oh, I'm going to Belfast City Hall. Thought I wanted to see it. And Joe's walking along. What does Joe do? You know, they're kind of about Crawford's Burn somewhere. What does Joe do? He's going, well, we're going this, that's Bangor, City Hall, Belfast, back that way. What does Joe do? Is he being arrogant to say, well, actually, City Hall's back that way? No, he's not. He's being helpful and loving and caring of that guy. So it's not necessarily arrogant. So the whole argument starts to be a bit shaky. Well, there's many paths, but they're all contradictory. And, well, is it really actually arrogant to say you know the right way? Well, I think we'll move to what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? And you've maybe heard this verse before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. I have sort of this chain here. And this padlock. And if I was to bring somebody up, I'll not do it, but if I was to bring somebody up and lock up the chain with the padlock and lock them around a chair or something like that, you know, they'd be locked up and I could ask everybody in the room, I could say, okay, get your keys out, your car keys, your house keys, all of those kind of things. We're going to get the person out. And we could all come up and we could all try to unlock the lock. And then eventually I would go, well, why didn't it work? Because I have the key. I have the one key here. And actually, you might say, oh, but you maybe got a couple of keys for that lock. Well, I've lost the other key that I had with it. So there actually only is one key to this lock. So it really helps my illustration. But there's only one key to unlock the lock. And in the same way, there's only one way to encounter God. There's only one way to know God. And Jesus Christ clearly and boldly says, He is the way. And I think, you know, it's not just that he said it. We have to realise who Jesus actually is. Who is the person that said it? Who is the person that said it? Well, Jesus came from heaven. And sometimes we read of stories of people and they perhaps have near-death experiences. And they perhaps sort of drift off into something where they see a bright light and they maybe see a smiling face, something like that. And then they come back or revived to life, and they go and they write a book about it and their near-death experience. They've had a glimpse into heaven and they make a lot of money in writing their book. And even the prophet Muhammad, he got a glimpse, claimed he had a glimpse into heaven where he met Allah, and Allah said to him, well, you Muslims should pray 5 times a day. And he claimed to have a glimpse into heaven. And some of those claims are really staggering. But Jesus makes an even more staggering claim than that. He says, I have always been with God the Father. Always, known no beginning. I have come down to earth from heaven. I have come from heaven. Basically, he's saying, I've always existed, I've had a perfect relationship with God the Father, and I've come down to earth to reveal God the Father to you. He came from heaven, and he stated that he was God. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. Jesus said, he clearly and emphatically repeated the fact that he was God. So Jesus is saying he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one can come to the Father apart from me. And that is a completely earth-shattering, history-altering statement. Jesus says if you want to know God, you have to know him. He says there's no knowledge of God, there's no revelation of God, there's no declaration of God apart from Jesus. You cannot connect to God apart from Jesus. And not only does Jesus say this, but the Bible is clear about this the whole way through. Acts chapter 4, Peter is preaching before the Jewish council. And he comes in and he says, this Jesus that you crucified. And then he goes on to say, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, Jesus. And then whenever Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to his protege Timothy in his first letter. And he says, Timothy, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He says, Timothy, there's only one go-between. There's only one person that can bring the two parties together. And it's Jesus. It's repeated the whole way through the Bible. I don't know if anybody here's into flying, or helicopters in particular, but there's one key component in a helicopter. Don't know if you know this. And it's the bolt that holds the blades. The blades are going round, and you've got the body of the helicopter, and there's this bolt that holds the blades onto the body of the helicopter. And, you know, if you ever in a helicopter and you're flying along a few thousand feet and a couple of hundred miles an hour in a helicopter, there's one bolt that's holding the whole thing together. And do you know what, like, aviators and technical air people call this bolt? They call it the Jesus bolt. The Jesus bolt. Because it holds the whole thing together. And if something was to happen to that Jesus bolt, well, the whole thing would come crashing down. And that's the same whenever it comes to getting to God. Jesus is the key piece. He holds it all together. He's the author and perfecter of faith. Colossians tells us, in him all things hold together. He's the key piece in the jigsaw puzzle. And I wonder, well, why? What is it that makes Jesus this key piece? And I think it can be summed up just in a couple of letters. Some of you have probably heard this before, but all the other religions in the world, all the other paths to reach God can be summed up in two letters. D-O. D-O. Do. It's all about do. Well, if you do this, and you do that, and you do the other, you reach down inside yourself and find the good inside yourself, you do that. Or if you go to church and pray, or if you pray 5 times a day and you give alms to the poor, or all of these other things, you will eventually get acceptance by God. Do, 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 do. The difference when it comes to Jesus is the N and the E. Add an N and an E onto that. D-O-N-E. Done. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus has done. And what did Jesus do? Well, he came to this earth and he lived that perfect life that we couldn't live. As Craig has already said, we all have sin within our lives, and we couldn't live a perfect life, but Jesus lived that perfect life for us, and he went to the cross, and he substituted himself on the cross to take our place. And I wonder if many people have seen the film The Passion of Christ. I haven't seen it, and don't particularly want to see it, but I heard something interesting about it. Mel Gibson directs the film, and it's all about the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. And Mel Gibson actually stars in the film. I don't know if you know that. Does anybody know what part Mel Gibson plays in the film, The Passion of the Christ? Yeah, Keith's got it. His hands, you don't actually see any of his body, all you see is his hands. And his hands were hammering the nail into Jesus' hand on the cross. And Mel Gibson was asked about this, and he said, well, why did you take that part in the film? I don't know where Mel Gibson stands, where he is before God, but Mel Gibson said something very, very interesting. He said, well, it was my hands that nailed Jesus to the cross. He was paying for my sin. That's what Jesus came to do. Died on the cross to pay for our sin, and he rose 3 days later to prove that who he was, that he was God's Son from heaven come to earth. So, Jesus said he was the only way to God the Father. He provided a way to God the Father by dying on the cross to provide forgiveness for our sins. So what is your response going to be? What's your response going to be? This night is called Free for All. Free for All. There's an invitation there to respond to God's gift of salvation which comes in Jesus Christ. I think, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that tonight? You know, you might be saying, yes, Dave, I can see your logical argument. Yeah, okay. It just completely blows out of the water, the fact that there's many paths to God. And yeah, I can see, okay, Jesus came. He was God's Son, and he provided that one way that there is to God. I can see all that. But, you know, Dave, I'm young. You know, I don't want to change my life. I don't want to make any decisions. You know, I don't want to enjoy my life. What on earth has it got to do with me? Well, it's got everything to do with you. Everything to do with you, because it's about having your sin forgiven. It's about having a relationship with your Father God, who is your Creator. It's about coming into a relationship with Him. He's saying to you, He's shouting to get your attention. There's an invitation to His free offer of salvation. He'd wipe out all your sin in the past, your present, and your future sins. He's just saying, come to me. Turn from your sin. Turn from that life that you're living. Turn, trust in my Son Jesus, and come and enter into a relationship with me. He's offering a deep joy that Craig was telling us about. He's offering us wholesome and fulfilling relationships. He's offering us abundant life here in this life, but he's also offering us abundant life with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Sometimes people think that becoming a Christian is about do's, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's not about duty, it's about delight. And the offer is there, the offer of the gift of salvation. It's free for all. So you see, are Christians serious that Jesus is the only way to God? Yes, he is the only way to God. So what is your response going to be to that invitation to enter into a relationship with God, to know your Creator? I trust that as Craig even said, that everyone in this room will have entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, you can do that tonight. Speak to Keith or Johnny or some of the leaders in youth group. Come and speak to me or Craig, or speak to somebody tonight. That free gift of salvation is free for all. And I hope that you will respond to that and trust in Jesus. If we just pray, and then we're going to hand over to the guys. The guys want to come up just as I pray, and we'll pray. And hand over to guys for a couple of songs.